Screaming Through the Night, written by Sammy Alex and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic, rated explicit, featuring the relationship Clint Barton / Jason Todd. This is part two of the Deadly Nightshades series. Abridged summary. Clint and Jason wake up. Most people probably wouldn't think of being a ghost as particularly pleasant, but for Clint, it's the best experience he's ever had. Perk of being a ghost number one, no need to breathe. Holy fuck, Jason groaned as Clint pulled off his cock with a pop and licked his lips. Perk of being a ghost number two, no refractory period. Clint crawled up Jason's body where he slumped against his own headstone and sank down on Jason's lap with a satisfied sigh. Come on, babe, he said. Don't make me do all the work. He cut off with a yelp as Jason flipped them and drove into him hard. Perk of being a ghost number three, four, and five, clothes disappeared and reappeared at will, and even if they didn't, no grass stains, and even if there were, no laundry. Yeah. Clint said breathlessly, gripping the headstone tight enough that if his hand was solid, he'd have harsh red lines up and down his palm. Like that. Perk of being a ghost number six, no mess. Which was good, because they also didn't have any tissues. Clint came with a gasp. So he's a fast finisher. Big deal. See perk number two, no refractory period. The wind blew through the leaves of the big willow tree as they fucked, talked, and laughed. Perk of being a ghost number seven, eternity with the love of his life and death. It was reassuring to know that, as ghosts, not much could come between them. In life, there was always the question if Clint would join Jason as a ghost, always the power dynamic where Jason had to trust Clint not to control him. But now, they would be a sure thing until the stars burned out and the universe exploded. A necromancer could bother them, though Jason had sent the last one packing. A zombie apocalypse would probably wreck the cemetery and be inconvenient, but even if the worst came to pass, they'd still be dead, and they'd find each other again. Dead was dead, and they had eternity, after all. They lay back amidst the fragrant flowers as the sky began to brighten, and the stems did not bend. Another night down, Jason murmured, and kissed the side of Clint's neck, his lips cool and soft. Forever to go, Clint replied, catching Jason's lips with his own as the sun crested the horizon. See you when the first star comes out. Sleep tight, love. Clint wiggled his toes in shoes that pinched, tried to lift his arm above his head, and smacked his knuckles into hard wood hovering just above him. Very little room to his sides, either. This was not the cemetery under the wispy Gotham clouds he'd woken up in every night since his death. Maybe every sepia-toned memory of his afterlife with Jason was a dream. Maybe he'd never fallen off that building, never woke up dead, never spent night after night under the golden light of the ghost moon with Jason, surrounded by the smell of damp earth and rotting flowers. His eyes were open, right? Blinking, feeling his eyelashes squeeze against his cheeks and then flutter open, did nothing to change the oppressive darkness. Ah, fuck. The clock was supposed to stop its relentless ticking when the ground rose up to meet him and the building followed him down. They were supposed to have the rest of eternity. Clint wasn't supposed to wake up alone in a coffin and worry about dying again. His heart was beating faster than any dead heart should. Impossible to know how long he'd been breathing again, whether he'd slept away a good portion of his already limited air. His fingers scrabbled against the satin-lined, padded corners of the box, but found no convenient rocks no knives, no phone to call for help. There was a weight on his chest, and he shimmied his shoulders so his hands could reach under the jacket of whatever suit Shield had buried him in. His right hand closed around air. Empty. His left, though. Thank God for Nat, Clint breathed as he drew out his favorite knife with a slim blade and a heavy handle, immediately recognizable by touch alone. It was going to be a challenge to get enough leverage while cramped and on his back, but he wasn't about to die in a box. At least 6 feet of hard-packed soil lay between him and open air. Assuming that last night, and the night before that, wasn't some kind of insane hallucination, it was late summer. It hadn't rained in over a week, which was probably the only thing weighing in Clint's favor right now. He set the knife against his jacket, tearing away a thick strip of fabric which he laid over his face. Then he smacked his knuckles once, twice. Damn it, the lid was still there, Clint. And his forehead. Fuck. But finally, his mouth and nose were at least covered, and his makeshift mask was tied behind his head, leaving his hands free to dig up to the surface before he suffocated. The longer he spent thinking about it, the faster his breath came, the more air he used up. Fuck. Okay, Barton, stop panicking. Go time. Knife back in hand, tip wedged under the lid, Clint strained and shoved and tried to roll onto his side as dirt fell thick and heavy through the gap. The smell of earth and rot filled his nose, and he tried not to think about how the dirt moved. No bugs, nope, not thinking about it. He lashed out with the knife, cutting into the hard-packed dirt and rock, making space to shove himself out and up. It took a long time. There was no more air. His lungs were screaming. The fingers not clenched around the handle of the knife were definitely broken, and the knife was a really shitty shovel. But finally, fuck, finally, Clint felt the touch of a breeze on his hand instead of earth, and he wriggled his way up the last few inches until his head crested the surface and he could rip the fabric away from his face to suck down that sweet, sweet air. It was night. Silver moonlight shone down from the sky, and the oppressive dark silence of being buried alive, Jesus Christ, his old Shield therapist would have a field day, was finally behind him. And beneath him. His heart was thudding against his ribs, blood beating a heavy thump, thump, thump in his ears, too fast, too sharp, as he tried to catch his breath. In, two, three, his breath caught. Out. Try again. In, two, three, out. Still too fast. No rush, plenty of air. Just breathe. He lay there as his pulse began to slow, but the thudding in his ears didn't stop. Clint turned his head, brows furrowing. What was that sound? He dragged himself to his feet and immediately fell back on his hands and knees. The ground thudded through his palms. Or was that his pulse? Or was that... Horror filled him, heavy and choking as if concrete was poured right into his chest. Jason! Where was Jason's grave? He crawled to it through blooming nightshade and scattered stones, and the pounding grew louder. Jason might not have a knife, and even if he did, Clint wouldn't wish crawling out of his own grave on his worst enemy, much less. Clint tore handfuls of grass and wildflowers away from the headstone to get at the damp earth beneath. His knife glanced off the marble surface with a granite clang before sinking deep into the dirt, still a terrible shovel, but better than his broken fingers alone. "I'm coming," he said, voice a faint rasp. "I'm coming, Jason, I'm coming." Clods of grass and dirt flew in every direction. The ground shifted beneath his feet, so Clint flung the knife away to avoid cutting Jason as he made his way upwards. He clawed at the ground, fingertips shredding further with every handful, but he'd been ignoring that kind of pain since the first time Trick made him shoot until his bowstring twanged red. Jason was worth a lot more than a bullseye. Finally, right in front of him, a hand thrust its way through the dirt, like the most stereotypical zombie movie Clint had ever seen. Clint wrapped his hand around those bloody fingers and yanked backwards, falling onto his back and drawing Jason up and out of the earth. His eyes, just inches from Clint's, were wild, and their chests were heaving against each other as they sucked in the same air. No one left Jason a knife in his coffin when they buried him. Instead, Jason held the buckle of a belt, leather tail hanging limp and filthy behind him. "What the fuck?" Jason gasped out. "I don't know," Clint said. "I have no idea." "It wasn't you." Clint swallowed against the hurt that Jason thought he would raise them without so much as a conversation about it. If being a necromancer means raising yourself from the dead, I've never heard of it. They breathed together for another moment, and Jason dropped his head against Clint's collarbone. "Sorry," said Jason. "I know you would have asked." His forehead was damp with sweat, gritty with dirt that was more rock than soft soil. Back when Clint was alive, Jason seemed to sink right through him, a cool pressure under his skin. When they were both ghosts, touching felt cool, solid, if almost magical in how easy it was to manipulate their bodies. But this, now, both of them laying with quick beating hearts, the moonlight drenching them was silver, not gold. The flowers around them were trampled and bruised beneath their combined weight. Clint's fingers resting on the back of Jason's head, tangled in matty, dirty curls, instead of gliding smoothly through hair that felt like flowing water. Clint wrapped his other arm around Jason's waist, yanking the tails of his once white button-down shirt out of his suit pants and sticking his palm against the warm skin of Jason's back. "We're alive," Jason said, with a disbelieving chuckle. The fabric clung to the back of Clint's hand, and Jason pulled against his hold, sitting up in Clint's lap to shrug off his jacket and start pulling at his gaping collar. With every button Jason smeared with blood and dirt, he revealed another inch of pale, freckled skin. His collarbones rose sharply above deep hollows, and below them, "Holy shit," Clint said, and Jason glanced down. "What? What's wrong?" "How did you tell someone they had an autopsy scar? That a stranger had cut them open and taken out everything inside, dug around, looked in all the dark, shadowed places, and then stitched them back up again? Did Clint have that same scar beneath the buttons of his shirt?" Clint didn't have time to figure it out because Jason was falling back towards him, heavy and smelling faintly of floral detergent that someone must have washed his body with before they packed him in a box. The chemical scent competed with the musk of sweat and primal fear that had driven Jason up through the dirt, and neither overpowered the other. The combined scent of innocent grief and determined, panicked vitality melded into something uniquely Jason. Kissing was wet, Clint suddenly remembered, as their lips crashed together, sloppy with spit and teeth, clumsy and uncoordinated, neither of them used to occupying real space. A soft noise slipped out of Jason's mouth when Clint took advantage of Jason's missing belt to reach down beneath his waistband and squeeze a palmful of his ass, flesh heated, dimpled, and real. They rutted against each other, Jason pressing against Clint's hips like if there was any space between them, he would die again. He fumbled blindly with the buttons on Clint's shirt, and Clint struggled to sit up to help him, dragging his arms from the sleeves and looking down in frustration when he got tangled in the cuffs. Yes, there on his chest, glowing faintly silver against his skin in the moonlight, Clint could see a matching Y stretching from his shoulders to his sternum and down beyond the button of his pants. Jason sat up and rolled his hips, distracting Clint from the horror of someone's hands inside of him, and he yanked at the shirt hard until it finally popped free. Buttons caught the moonlight as they flew in every direction, a handful of tiny stars dropping lifeless into the dirt. Freed from his shirt, Clint reached for Jason's pants, unbuttoning them and shoving one hand down the front. The raw skin of his fingers tingled in the warm, damp heat between Jason's thighs. Clint shoved Jason's pants down until they caught on his thighs and wrapped one hand around his cock where it bobbed in the air. It was nothing new to see the long column of Jason's neck limned by moonlight, but for the first time, that silky steel was hot in Clint's palm. Jason was practically kneeling over his lap, slippery and gritty, leaving bloody prints everywhere he put his hands. Clint wanted to feel him everywhere. "We were supposed to have eternity," Jason grunted, and Clint arched up against him, head flung back as Jason bit angrily along his jaw. "Eternity or a lifetime, I'll take whatever I can get as long as I'm with you." There was only a single moment to consider that he no longer had the no-mess perk of ghosthood when Clint came with a strangled shout, Jason following with a muffled gasp. The stars continued to cross the sky above, and Jason slumped against Clint's chest. "I was done," Jason whispered into Clint's skin. "I told Talia no. I decided I didn't want to come back. I was done." Clint ran a hand down his back gently, not sure he was supposed to hear this, still a little dazed from the hypoxia and the orgasm, and the warm, solid feeling of Jason's ribs expanding with every living breath. "You don't think—" Jason cut himself off, pressing his face harder against Clint. "Hmm?" Clint asked. "My dad didn't hire someone to raise us, right?" There was a wealth of uncertainty in Jason's voice. Clint wasn't sure if he wanted to be reassured that Bruce Wayne would never pay someone to illegally resurrect his beloved son, or be reassured that Bruce Wayne would never leave his beloved son to rot in the ground. "I mean," and Jason paused again, a laugh that could be a sob clawing its way out of his throat, "he didn't even bury me with his name." He gestured at the headstone standing tall above them. "Here lies Jason Todd," cut deeply into its face. "He hasn't visited me here either, and before I died, we had a pretty big fight. He didn't come after me. I don't think he'd want to go out of his way to bring me back now, not after he's been rid of me all this time." Jason shook in Clint's arms, and Clint squeezed him tighter, laying his cheek gently on top of Jason's head. Back when they first met, Clint did a lot of research on Jason Todd. Bruce Wayne's grieving face featured heavily in the newspaper articles he'd seen, and Clint privately couldn't imagine him being unhappy his son was miraculously alive. But hey, Clint had never been much of a son himself, so who was he to know? "I don't know why we woke up," he said. He continued, trailing his hand gently down Jason's spine, and tried not to think of how that path was mirrored by the ragged scar on his front. "I don't know why we had to dig our own way out." The wind picked up and Clint shivered, the sweat starting to cool against his skin. He was beginning to regret shredding the only clothes to his name, as creepy as it would be, walking around in what he'd been buried in. "I don't know how to be alive anymore, but I don't want to die again." Clint stiffened. "You won't. Not for a long, long time." "The Joker, it hurt. And Bruce, I was alone." "Then the Joker will die," Clint growled. He wrapped his hands around Jason's arms, holding him tight and close, but keeping him from hiding his face. "We're alive again, aren't we? We don't know why. There's no one here to tell us. We had to dig our own damn selves out of our own damn graves. We don't even have legal names anymore." He couldn't force his fingers to loosen, and Jason's skin was white around each digit. Clint was probably leaving bruises, but Jason's expression was transfixed, unblinking, unflinching, so close that his eyes skipped back and forth to track Clint's. "We can do whatever we want," Clint said, enunciating each word slowly. "And the first thing we'll do is put the son of a bitch who killed you in the ground where he can't hurt anyone else." Clint was under no delusion that he had ever been a good man, and now that he'd died once, lost his eternal peace once, and was staring down the barrel of another hard life, he wasn't about to build that life somewhere Jason wasn't safe. Jason was the only sure thing he'd ever had, the only good thing he'd ever had. Clint wasn't going to let him go. "You really mean that?" Jason asked quietly. You'd kill for me." "I've killed a lot of people," Clint said, finally releasing one hand to cup Jason's face as gently as he had just been clutching his arm. "I've killed for a lot of people. For money, for loyalty, for revenge. You aren't even asking me to kill anyone. I offered. But yeah, I'd kill for you. It'd be to give you justice, to let you live in peace, knowing he can't ever hurt you again." He leaned forward and kissed Jason's forehead, right beneath the white patch of hair that hadn't shown when Jason was a ghost. He couldn't wait to relearn every inch of Jason's body. "And then what?" Jason asked, eyes half-lidded. "When the Joker is gone. When you kill him." He said the words like he was tasting them, slow and sweet, luxuriating in the way they felt in his mouth. "And then we'll live," Clint said. "Killing for you will be easy. It'll be living after that's hard. You know we have nothing, right?" Jason shrugged. We can lay low for a bit in Crime Alley, worst comes to worst. No one will notice an extra guy or two on the streets. We could... then back again. We could take control. See if we can do what Batman can't. Really clean up the streets. Make it safe here. Make people properly scared of the consequences if they rape, or murder, or peddle drugs to kids. You want to stay in Gotham, then? It's my home, Jason said. A little helpless, a little stubborn. Well, they're gonna have to kill me again to keep me away from you, and it's not going to be as easy as dropping a building on me next time. If you want to stay in Gotham, that's where I'll be. No one is killing you, Jason said fiercely. Damn straight. They were both alive, something Clint never thought would happen even in his wildest dreams, and Clint was willing to do an awful lot to keep it that way. He'd paint the whole world red if Jason mentioned offhand he liked the color. What came after that didn't matter. Clint squeezed Jason's fingers and smiled. Just this, together with Jason, solid and warm, for another lifetime. The end.